is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
And Debbie Esslinger is going to be talking about pruning roses. And Debbie, you can show them where to prune roses wherever you want. Or anybody who's interested, you want to come over this way. And we have handouts up here, so maybe everybody's already got them. What I like to do is kind of do a hands-on. If anybody's interested in actually pruning, I have a couple other pair of pruners after I kind of talk about equipment and the technique, how to do it. So, anyway. Okay. I've got some tools over here. Okay. Have y'all pruned roses before? No? Yeah? A little bit? Okay. Well.
Same over here. I pruned them. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, maybe I can help. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different ways I'm finding, because I always go on YouTube and listen to different folks doing rose pruning demos, and one person will say, oh, you don't bother doing that, and another person will tell you to do it this way. But this is the way I do my roses, and I've grown roses for a long time, so, and they do pretty well, especially my roses at home. I don't get down to the garden a lot, so these don't flourish like the ones that I do at home as much. You know, they look okay, but mine at home get a lot of attention because I walk right out the door. And, you know, I start messing with them first thing in the morning, so. Pruning, yes. Yes. And so we'll talk about what you look for, because it depends on what elevation you live at. I live outside of Jamestown. So that's, you know, I know we're way warmer than Soulsbyville. But, you know, oh, I'll talk about that when we're gonna look at the roses, you know, and then there's indicators when your roses are ready to be pruned. They're coming out of dormancy. They're starting to swell, and then you can kind of go with that, and that will help. Well, the reason we prune roses, it's pretty essential to keep roses pruned. Otherwise, they will get really intertwined and cross each other. A lot of dead wood, and that's year to year. I had a landlord one time who, she never pruned anything. She really had trouble pruning anything. She was worried that she was going to hurt it. And she had this beautiful Joseph's coat, but it only got a few blooms on the outside because it was so intertwined and dead wood all through it, and it really suffered because she didn't prune it. And that was a good indication why you definitely should prune. Pruning is essential for the good growth of and flowering, and it does improve flower quality. You know, they'll look better. When we do prune, it's good to leave a few of the good and the strongest canes. So there's a method to that as well, it depending on what type of pruning you're doing. I tend to do what they call moderate pruning. There's severe pruning, moderate, and then light pruning. And so for most of the time, I do moderate. Once in a while, especially if it's a new young rose, I will do light pruning because you want to give it a couple of years to kind of develop a little bit more. And then some people, I've never really gotten into severe pruning. But roses, it's amazing. If any of you have ever gone by up on North Washington is the Realty, I think it's Caldwell, and they have that beautiful, yes. Right. It's a lovely rose garden. And I remember one year walking by right after they had pruned. And I mean, here's the bud union, and the stems were cut like here. And I, wow, you know. And then later, a couple months later, it was gorgeous. So, you know, they're very hardy. They seem so fragile because they're so beautiful and produce really lovely blooms and stuff, but they're not really fragile. They're pretty tough. So, but you kind of go with what you can handle and what you want. Like, it's nice to shape your rose for your landscape. You know, you want to fit into the landscape. At least I do. And I usually prune my roses kind of close to the same size, but not always. And every once in a while, I'll have some that are cut a little bit longer and cut a little bit shorter. But for the most part, I try to get them kind of even and, you know, make them look attractive that way. And one of the things about pruning that I do want to mention is it's important for certain varieties of roses. If they're not, new roses will grow off of the new growth. So if you leave a lot of the old growth on roses, you're not going to get as many blooms on a lot of the varieties. There's different kind of roses. Like I have a Lady Banks that I had to hack way back. It's a climber. And it blew over in the wind last year, and it was laying on another flower. It was horrible. That rose, you can leave it. And you maybe just trim it up where you want, but you don't do a radical pruning on those. They'll bloom off of all the old wood, but some roses won't. Like these guys here, they wouldn't do well if you don't prune them. So that's kind of important. You need to know what kind of rose you got, but for the most part, you want to prune them in the spring or late winter when they start to come out of dormancy. And so I'm below 2,000 feet, and so like right now is good. And so even right here on this rose, for instance, you can see that bud right there starting to swell, and then this. So that's the rose coming out of dormancy. And for the most part, most of these roses are doing that. See, right here is another one.
It's the new growth that's just coming.
Yes.
Is what you're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, I have old rose bushes at my old house that I bought, and I don't think they've been trimmed in years. There was one that was a climbing, and it came up, went across the fence, way up into the peak of the roof, and I had to trim. I didn't know what to do. I cut off, and the rose came back.
Oh, good.
Good. And kept blooming, but I mean.
Well, I did meet a lady once that came to a rose pruning demo. She lived in Columbia. She said she had lived in an older home, and it had a beautiful old climber, and she decided to prune it, and she said she killed it. So it just depends, you know, on the rose and how much you pruned it. No. Well, some people do, but yeah, if you don't want to. So they're usually pretty tough, you know. I don't know what happened to her rose, but that's what she told me happened on her particular rose when she pruned it severely. She killed it.
Well, so I noticed this one doesn't have any.
This is dead.
Yeah.
That's a dead.
All the way up.
Oh yeah, I'll take that whole cane right off. There's a bunch of boring. I guess it's a bee that will bore into, and you can see on your roses when you're pruning them, especially because when it has leaves, you don't see it. There are these holes, and the bee will bore down in there. And supposedly it'll keep boring down. I try to cut down below. But that whole cane is dead. And that happens. These are very old roses. I don't even know how old they are. A lot of the roses are newer planted. When we took over this garden, we planted a lot of roses. But there was a group of roses here already, and I don't know how long they've been there. So we just have been doing the best we can to maintain them and help them survive. Some of them really bloom like crazy. So suckers are good to get rid of.
Yeah, so is that a sucker at the bottom of that climbing rose that's on the...
No.
Okay.
That's a new cane.
That's a new cane.
How do you tell the difference between a sucker and a cane?
Well, normally on a sucker, well, not normally, always on a sucker,
it comes
from an area like, whoops, I'm dropping stuff here. It'll come out from underneath where the joint union is, or the bud union, where the rose has been grafted. I'm trying to show you. These roses were
so the
all...
sucker is below the graft, but a new cane is above it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
it... they come out, like, I have
it
one
comes,
that came out probably a foot or farther. All of a sudden, there's a new rose coming up way over here.
Really? And
yes.
There weren't roses there before?
No. Should I cut it off, or should I just let it...
It's probably just a the rootstock of another rose. Yeah, that's. I mean, I've taken roses out, and then 2 years later, this rose is not ever going to do anything.
Oh, so the new one coming out way over there probably won't turn into anything.
Right. It'll just be kind of spindly and weird, and might not even ever bloom. If it does bloom, it would be the. Root stock. So typically when you get roses, like if you buy a bare root rose, the company that has created this, the roses, there's a root stock, and they usually use old roses that are more disease resistant. They smell beautiful, but that's not the rose that you're trying to grow. And so they're grafted on. And then you want the rose that has been grafted on to flourish, not the rootstock. So usually the sucker is the rootstock. In fact, I suppose it's always the sucker is the rootstock. So now they, and this is probably not that new either, but it's new to me, like probably 3 or 4 years ago, I started reading about own root roses. And so those aren't grafted. It's kind of like when you take a cutting and you propagate your own roses. That's going to be on its own root, you know. It's not grafted, so it's never going to have that joint union. It's just the rose right there. So they do have those kind of roses that you can buy. I've bought a couple. I bought a beautiful one called Ketchup and Mustard. It's so pretty, and I believe it is a floribunda. The rose, it's kind of a small little bush, but it opens up, and it's got mustard yellow and red. Like, it's such a cool rose. So anyway, so suckers are typically from the root stock. I had my dad planted this back when my mom and dad were still with us. And my dad planted a Don Juan climber. So I tried to get that thing to bloom. You know, I just kept working with it and working with it. And all of these canes started coming. And I was all excited because, you know, I thought, finally. So I'm making them go lateral, and so they'll shoot up their other runners. And then when I went to prune it, well, first of all, it bloomed, and they were red roses, but they weren't Don Juan. So I'm going, You know, I was just learning. So then I thought, I'm going to prune them. And it was this beautiful fragrance. But it still was not Don Juan. So I had to move the rose eventually. And I cut away all those suckers, every last one of them. And now that rose is just blooming. Don Juan blooms beautifully, and it's sprawling out. And I'm just learning as I'm doing it,
so
you know.
The suckers are like weeds.
Well, yeah, they're that is true.
They affect the plant that you want to grow because they're taking all those nutrients.
They're taking nutrients. If you fertilize or anything, they're taking water. Yeah, so they're not a great thing to let happen. But you can tell they're just. I think this is the one. It shoots suckers out every year, so I have to come and during the summer, during the growing season, and clip it down as far back as I can.
And you don't have other flowers and things growing under them.
Oh, over there we do. Those are hollyhocks.
Yeah.
they blew in from some hollyhocks that were growing.
Because Caldwell Banker has alyssum under there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty.
And I was wondering about that because some of my roses in my old house that were there for years, there's other plants. Does that affect the rose?
I don't think so. I mean, it would depend. There are some companion plants that people will grow with roses, but you still want to be thinking of fertilizing them and caring for them exclusively. And then if you have other, I have some stuff coming. Yeah, I have some other things that have blown into my pots, and I'll watch them for a while, and then I'll take them out and plant them elsewhere. Because it does affect, again, just like the sucker does, they can affect, so you got to be thinking about fertilizing and everything. So anyway, well, I guess I could talk to you about all the different names. The bud union is where they graft on, and I wish I had a lot of our roses were planted during a horrible flood in the rose garden, so it's hard to see, but this would be kind of a bud union here, where that big mound is. And then the graft was grafted onto that. And then a sucker would grow out below this bud union. It would grow down here, and that's when you know. If it's coming out down below the bud union, just go ahead and cut it off because it's, again, sucking in energy from the plant. And then the bud eyes are these little guys, the new shoots that are coming out. I mean, it's not necessary to know all the terminology because you get the idea, but it's not bad to know. I did see these two buds. Where did I see that at? There were two buds coming out of the same. Is this it? Yeah, that's it, I think. And so, really, you should clip one off because you're going to have two canes start growing just, and so what I always do is I just get rid of one of them, or excuse me, or you can just cut the whole thing off and go down below it to the excuse me the next outside bud, and then leave. So the standard rule of thumb is to try to prune when you are deadheading, you know, when your flowers are blooming and everything, and you're gonna deadhead, get rid of the, like this. You're gonna want to go down to a five leaf. A lot of times there's three leaves on there, but I've always been taught you don't have to do it this way, but supposedly they'll come from a three leaf. They don't necessarily shoot out another, it's not a whole cane, but another little branch, so it won't bloom from there. But your best shot at getting more blooms is to go down to a five leaf leaflet. Okay, so, and I'm gonna prune. Yes, yeah, right, you know, sure. Yes, that, right. The outside growth, it is important, but what I found is that I do this more at home. My home. I'm all tangled up here. Anyway, that's okay. When I'm at home and I'm looking at the shape of my plant, my rose, you know, sometimes I'll leave stuff that I wouldn't necessarily leave, or if I was teaching a class, I wouldn't tell you to leave it that way because it has a tendency to grow in. So the reason for the out cutting to the outside growth is the hope that everything will grow out and up instead of growing in. But through the growing season, it's going to grow in. And what I end up doing, usually around August and September, is sometimes it's just too thick in there, and I will go in, if I have the time, and you know, I'll go in and I'll kind of just cut some of the inside branches to open it up so more air can get back in there. You know, so I do that, but you know, but typically you're right. The reason is that they want you to grow it so that there's a lot of airflow and a lot of sun coming in. So if you get your growth going outward, there's more chance of that. So, I did want to show you, like, the tools. I've got a few things over here. Bypass pruners, where they don't just come together, but they bypass. They're really good for pruning, and keeping your tools sharp is essential. Because that's much better actually. If your tools aren't sharp, then when you go to make a cut, it's real easy to tear the outside of the cane. And, you know, and like this time of year we're pruning, but we're probably going to get some freezing weather again. And, you know, it's hard on the rose, and it could enable disease and bugs and stuff to get in there too. So you want to try, it's not going to kill it if there's one on there, but you try not to do that. So one of the things that is important is to clean. And a lot of people will buy one of those rolls of Clorox or some kind of wipes, you know, but you want to clean your cutters, keep them clean. And some people say clean between each rose, because one rose could have disease, and then you go pruning it, and then you come back and you just start on the next one. Well, maybe it's disease free, but it could easily get some disease from the pruners that aren't clean. So you try to I try to keep them, but honestly I get a little bit where I don't need to do that. But really, I mean, I carry it in my bag, so that should count for something, right? So instead of carrying a bag of cotton balls and alcohol, you can use bleach diluted, like one part to 10 parts of water. Or you can have those pull out and just take a wipe and wipe your pruners off. The little hand pruners are great, usually for roses that are, well, they usually say, isn't it like an inch to an, these will go up to, I think, an inch width or an inch and a half, you know. Then once they, if you're getting a big cane, and you'll know because you'll try to use your hand pruners and you can't do it, you need some loppers, and these help because they can get in the center and you won't rip your arms all up, you know. And then this is a little wonderful little saw. I just love my little saw. And I, with the saw came a little sharpener. They came together, which was pretty handy. That was back when we had Orchard. I miss that store a lot. But so having a nice little saw and keeping your stuff sharp, pretty important. We talked about that. So also, I do rose pruning or rose care for over at the Masonic Cemetery. There's a lady who lives in Washington, but she hired me to care for the climbers over there. And so she always sends me stuff. Every year she sends me some other little gadget. But she got me these gaiters for my arms to keep the roses from ripping you. I don't know where she got them. Again, she lives in Gig Harbor, so wherever. And she also showed me about this, especially for climbers. You don't really need it for shrub roses or those kind. But for climbing roses, I don't know if you all have seen this kind of garden tape, the Velcro. It's really great. I just love it. I love it way more than that other green stuff that blows in the wind. And then sometimes I can use it the second year. So, but it, you know, our summers are so hot that it will kind of disintegrate as the time goes by. But that's a pretty cool thing. And she did send me these. I'm just showing you this because she loves roses too, and she's in her 80s, and she's turned me on to a lot of cool stuff. These are those little ratchet, like if you have arthritis or maybe carpal tunnel, and they'll ratchet down when I'm cutting. So I use those too. And then if you don't have gaiters, or maybe you just would like gloves, they have some really nice ones at the store that I would like to get. The leather is a lot more pliable. You can just move better because I like to feel, really, you know, be able to feel everything. These are a little bit stiff. That's where the gaiters come in pretty handy. But long-sleeved gloves are great for keeping your arms safe, too. So with pruning cuts, well, let's see, where should we I kind of wanted to start over there on the, it's called Pink Perfection, and it's a hybrid tea. And it's one of our original roses here. It's this one right here. And this rose holds its firm bud for weeks at least a couple weeks in pots, you know, like in a vase. I've made many bouquets out of this rose, and it's just such a cool rose. So, back, I guess in October, I came and I took just some cuttings, and then I clipped them, and I think I planted maybe 10. And in one of my pots, I've got growth coming out, so I'm open. Please. Well, I left my clippings in a big bucket, and I thought, man, I should really take care of this. So what I typically do when I'm propagating roses is I take, so like if you take a stem you can do this when you're pruning, and if anybody wants to try it, it might be a little bit late, but it's worth a try. Then wherever I bring it down to, if there's a stem like this, then I cut them into, you know, six or 8-inch sections. And then I will first get a pot with, I always use Miracle-Gro potting soil. It's just got a good consistency for propagating roses. And maybe I'll mix a little bit of compost in there. And then I get some Rutone, or, you know, the root hormone. And first I'll make, with a pencil or a branch out in the yard, I'll make maybe 6 holes in my gallon-sized pot. First I'll water it. I keep backing up. I water it, make sure it's really wet, and let the water drain out so it's nice and moist. Then I'll make maybe 6 holes for 6 cuttings. And then when I make the cuttings, and I remove all the old leaves, so there's none of this stuff on there. There might be a little bit of swelling, and maybe that's where a new growth will come out, more leaves. But I always get rid of last year's leaves. And then I'll roll it in the root hormone, kind of tap off the extra powder, and then real gently put it down in that hole that I've drilled, but, you know, I've made a little spot for it, and then just tap it real gentle. And then I take a clear plastic bag and then stick it under an oak tree that's kind of got a little diffused light. Mine are live oaks. And then I had success 2 years ago. Last year I never cut any roses, so I didn't even try it. So hopefully this year this will work. It looks like it's shooting out growth, so I'll keep my fingers crossed. But that's what I do. There's a lot of different ways to propagate, but that's how I've had success. So that's what I do.